Death is not the end, either for those saved by the grace of God or for those that reject it. It's the beginning of eternity in heaven or hell. Which will it be for you? In Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 through 5, we read of the martyrs who have been killed for their testimony. They stand on a sea of glass mingled with fire and sing a song of victory to the Lord. We've looked at the saints, the sea, and the song. Now, let's look at the sanctuary. Verse 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. What's the temple of the tabernacle? The Holy of Holies. What was kept there? The Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments. What was over the Ten Commandments? The mercy seat. No one was allowed into the Holy of Holies except the great high priest. He went in once a year and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. What was the idea? In the ark were the commandments. Outside were the people. They had broken them. They deserved to die. The soul that sinneth, says the Bible, it shall die. But the priest sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. When God looked down, he didn't see the broken commandments, but the blood. Now Christ is our mercy seat. When the Lord looks down at me, he doesn't see my sins. Why? Because I'm a preacher? Oh, no. Because I've been baptized? No. Because one day I received Jesus. Now Calvary covers my sins. Look at the servants in verse 6 that we just read. Where do the angels come from? The place where the law of God rests. Why are they coming out? To demonstrate the righteous law of God, to demonstrate that all who defy the Lord and disobey his law must be destroyed. There are seven angels. They signify completeness or perfection. Condemnation will be complete. Now, look at the sentence, verse 7. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth for ever and ever. One of the four living creatures now hands the seven bowls to the seven angels. We saw them in chapter 4. One was like a lion, another like an ox, another like a man, and the last like an eagle. We saw that they were the cherubim, the strongest, the bravest, the wisest, and the swiftest of God's creatures. Therefore, it's fitting that one should hand the bowls of wrath to the seven angels. The psalmist said in Psalm 75:8, in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. These didn't. What's the result? They must drink of the cup of the wrath of God. Which cup will you choose? The cup of salvation or the cup of the wrath of God? It's one or the other. Look at the smoke. Verse 8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Smoke is often a symbol of the presence of the Lord in his holiness. when he came down to give the law, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke. And when Isaiah confessed his sin and was cleansed, the house was filled with smoke. In this passage, judgment is about to descend from God upon the earth. Until all the bowls of wrath are emptied, no one can approach him. Now, that's important. Why? The temple is, so to speak, closed until judgment has been executed. This shows us that no prayer of man to God, no approach of man to God, can halt the coming judgment. Nothing and no one can hinder or halt the avenging justice of God. There could be another reason why no one could come into the presence of God at this time. Jesus, you know, wept over Jerusalem. It broke his heart that all the efforts of his mercy had been in vain, and that the city and the citizens refused his pardon. So I wonder if behind the smoke screen, God is weeping. No one knows how much he suffers because of the sins of the sinners. And if you and I have the Spirit of Jesus, we too will weep for the erring one. We will seek to win them to the Lord. Now we turn to the 16th chapter of Revelation. It makes me shudder and sob, for it's a chapter of suffering for the sinner. There's only one ray of comfort, that is, you and I, who have been born again, won't be on earth when these judgments are poured out. The first voice we hear is the voice of God. The hour of judgment can't be delayed. God, whose patience has lasted through the centuries, comes to the end. He speaks. Hear him in verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." The time for judgment has come. Men have trodden underfoot the blood of his son. There's nothing else God can do. His mills grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine, and the last of the grist is about to go through. Look at the first vial, verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. To whom is this judgment directed? The beast worshippers. What's the target? Idolatry. God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He added, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." What did Satan desire above everything else? To be worshipped as God. Well, he was or will be worshipped during the tribulation period. His desire will be satisfied in men worshiping the beast. But God won't allow his glory to be given to another. Look at verse 2 again. What fell upon the devil worshippers? A noisome and grievous sore. The word noisome means painfully bad. What's a sore? An outward sign of inner corruption. The hearts of devil worshippers have been corrupted. so the corruption is made known to all men. When our Lord was on earth, he said to the children of the devil, "You're like whited sepulchres. You appear beautiful outward, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones." Here, during this judgment, all will be outwardly what they are inwardly. This will be a painful and putrid sore, a dreadful disease. Now think of this. When Christ was on earth, he healed all diseases. But the false Christ, the Antichrist, won't be able to heal or halt this disease. Will any escape this disease? Only those few individuals who trust Christ in those horrifying hours. You don't want to be there at that time, do you? Then come to Jesus now. You see, it's either come to Jesus now or come into judgment then. Wouldn't it be wiser, safer, and better for you to come to Jesus now, right now? Then do it, won't you?